Today is What a Fool Believes, Part 2. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask at this time that you would bring forth this message and that it would attend to your people, that they may glean from your word how to not be a fool for the world, but they would be a fool for Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. What a fool believes. What a fool believes. Our text would be coming from various scriptures, but I thought that Psalms 53:1-5 sort of encapsulates it all for what a fool believes. In Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible describes several types of fools. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? That's from Proverbs 1 and verse 22. In our sermon today, we will look at 6 categories of fools found in scriptures. Can we look at Psalms 53 verses 1-5? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good." Verse 2, God looks down from heaven among the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Do they eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? They are in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Does that sound like God loves a fool? Oh, he loves them as a human being, but he doesn't love what a fool will do. Oh, but what a fool believes. What a fool believes. There are many songs, many popular songs in America, where there's that hook that's in a lyric of a song that when you hear it, you know you've got the listener. And it's a good thing to have a hook in a song. One of those words used by songwriters is fool. There are many, many songs that talk about fools. In fact, Christina Aguilera and Blake Shelton, they admitted to the world in their song, "Just a Fool." That's what they said, that they were just a fool. Ironically, Ike and Tina Turner in 1961, after years of fighting each other, sang a song, "A Fool in Love," which Frankie Lemon asked the question, "Why do fools fall in love?" Dylan in 2018 explained in his song that only fools fall in love, which would make me say that I'm a fool. And it seems that fools are found everywhere. The Beatles in 1967 sang a song about the fool on a hill. Others found a fool for the city, a fool in the rain, and a statue of a fool. The late Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, warned us that there were so many fools that she described them as a chain of fools. In 1988, the group Erasure said they found a whole ship of fools. One songwriter got upset at being called a fool and declared in his song that there were nobody's fool. Connie Francis rejected that notion in her song, Everybody's Somebody's Fool. The fact was confirmed by the group Main Ingredient with their hit song, Everybody Plays the Fool. And then they said, sometimes. But there are no exceptions to the rule. They said they were not lying. They said it may be factual and it may be cruel, but everybody plays the fool. And if it's true that everybody plays the fool, at least sometimes, right now you could be sitting next to someone who's playing the fool. All right. I didn't say look at your neighbor. But one of my favorite songs of this catchy word, 1979 hit by the Doobie Brothers, is entitled, What a Fool Believes. What kind of fool are we talking about? Point number one is the unreasonable fool. Point number one is the unreasonable fool. This is the stupid fool who is described for us by the Hebrew word pite, which means a stupid mule or a fool who is easily persuaded by flattery, delusion, deception, enticement. He's ready to believe almost anything. And he exhibits a great gullibility. He believes in gossip that he hears, the slander and the false teaching. He hates academic discipline. He basically doesn't want to learn anything. The word pity has the idea of an open door. An open door to his mind and an open door to his heart. He'll let anything in. Doesn't have to be spiritual at all. It could be full of junk, but his door is open and will allow all of that mess to come in. And he exhibits himself in a way that says he doesn't want to learn. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, O naive ones, that means fools, only naive fools, how long will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers, they delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The simple, and the word there is fool, but it's pronounced or depicted as simple, believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Nobody wants to be that kind of fool that will believe everything they hear. That doesn't make a person very smart. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and they are punished for it. Point number two takes us to the unreasonable fool. I apologize, the first point was simple fool. Simple fool. The next one was unreasonable fool. The unreasonable fool. This is the Greek word eval. It's an unreasonable fool for our second description of a fool. The word means to be perverse, one who is without aim or counsel. Let's look at Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Let's look at the next verse. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you've heard that one, you've read that one. But fools do what? They despise. They absolutely despise wisdom and instruction. Those of us who have been blessed to have children, from time to time, we may have someone who's a bit hard-headed. And no matter what we say to this child, or even a school teacher, what they say to this child, they behave like the unreasonable fool and despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Why is that? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's why they despise instruction. But he who heeds counsel is wise. He who heeds counsel is wise. The only way he can appear wise is to keep his mouth shut. As soon as his mouth is open, the foolishness just bubbles right out. You know, you can look at a person if you want to. Remember a guy in school? People said he looked smart. He looked smart. Tall, handsome, but as soon as he opened his mouth, people would shake their head. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. He is full of arrogance and self-justification when confronted with the truth. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody and they knew everything? Have you not? And it was funny for me, but kind of sad. There was a person who was, you might say, living on the street, and they had some alcohol in them. And as I talked to them, they were telling me all the things about what they were expert with regards to understanding scripture. They were quoting scripture that wasn't right. They were misquoting scripture, but they knew they were telling me something. But this is the fate of the unreasonable fool. Our third fool is the stubborn fool. The stubborn fool. This comes from the word kesel in the Hebrew. The word kesel. You see, there are several different words for fool in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, and they all mean something different. They're similar, but they all highlight a different aspect of a fool. This is the stubborn fool in our third point, the stubborn fool. This Hebrew word literally means that the loins and the flanks of a person are so crowded by the fat in their loins and in their thighs and in their flanks that they are dull. In other words, they have difficulty moving around because of the additional fat around their body. They're inactive and passive. That's what that word means. So the stubborn fool cannot cope with authority in a business or authority in a church for any great length of time. In fact, he thinks that he is the authority himself, even though he has absolutely no capacity for it. His stupidity leads him to take on more than he can handle. This type of fool hides their hatred with hypocritical lies. It might sound like some of your coworkers. This fool hides their hatred, then they utter slander in the next breath. They're two-faced people, people you don't trust. And the Bible tells us if you keep company with them, you will suffer harm. You don't leave anybody at work like that, anybody in your family like that, that they say one thing, and you know they, and they just a lying. And if you're not in the room, they're going to talk about you like a dog. Proverbs and verse 18. Whoever hides his hatred has lying, and whoever spreads slander. And next verse, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The companion of fools will be destroyed. In Proverbs 14:16, it says that a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. And then, as we looked at Proverbs 18:20, the fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. That's a stubborn fool. Then there's a fourth type of fool that we find. This is the scorning fool, or a mocking fool. This type of fool is described by the Hebrew word litz. This is the scorning or mocking fool. The scorning fool flirts with a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. Think about those who stood against Moses, who called Moses out and said they want to go back to Egypt. These are people whose foolery is obnoxious and an abomination to others. They don't just want to criticize other people, but they want to mock them. They delight in mocking spiritual Christians for their standards. In any group of people, if you get rid of the scoffer, the scorning fool, you will probably resolve whatever problems you had in the group. Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 7 through 8 says, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. You know anybody like that? Don't you reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Isn't that something? Somebody who has an issue or a problem, and because you tried to help them out, they turned right around and stomped on you, kicked on you, and as soon as you were out the room, they were talking about you like a dog. You know anybody like that? That recently happened to me at work. I've been working there almost 34 years or so, something like that, at whatever this job is that I have. And I found an error, but not on the first day. I found it on the second day. And so had I not found the error, the product would have gone wrong. But because I didn't find it on the first day, I was asked, how could that happen? How could that happen? Why did I take another day to find out something was wrong? Isn't the point to find out that something's wrong? But they spent their time stomping all over my reputation. Now, I don't care, because when I got to this job that I have, someone told me how to survive living in this place that I work at. The short-term goal is lunch. The long-term goal is 4 o'clock on Friday. And as long as you keep your short-term goal and your long-term goal in mind, then whatever craziness goes on during the day isn't that important. And I'm glad that as a Christian, I can refer to that. Huh? Don't reprove a scoffer. They will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Then there's the fifth type of fool. This fool is a committed fool. He is a committed fool. Committed fools have regressed to the point where they have entered into apostasy. This would be a fool like Judas. This would be a fool like Judas. A stubborn fool would be someone like Jonah, who knew what God said, but refused to do what he said. In this case, the committed fool, they just have that apostasy in their character. The Hebrew word is Nabal, which means stupid, wicked, and vile. And in the story of David versus Nabal, where Nabal had a herd of animals, and there were marauders and evil people who wanted to take his animals, his sheep. But David, who was hiding out from King Saul, saw how many they were, and he let his men be on the lookout for the evil folks, those that would pilfer the sheep. And so he did that for a long time, because David was a good guy. And so when the time came for shearing the sheep, Nabal came along and had a feast, and he would have lots of food, lots of drinks. You know, they had all the fixings. And David, who didn't take money for his free service to help Nabal out, he was in the neighborhood, so he put his men to work. So when a couple of guys came up to Nabal and said, look, your men know that we've been helping y'all out for all this time. So we don't want anything, you know, money-wise for it, but can we get a plate? Can we get a plate? You ever had people come to your picnic or your cookout and they just want a plate? And you see somebody, hey, before you leave, make sure you get a plate. Nabal, being his evil, foolish self, said, no. I don't know this David. Now, he's lying. Everybody knows King Saul's looking for David. Everybody knows David because he killed Goliath. The women sang a song about how David killed his 10,000s, but Saul killed his thousands. The word Nabal, his parents, they named him fool. They must have known something about this child before he was conceived, before his birth. Because they called him, they named him fool. Can you imagine that? He turned around and kicked these guys to the curb. I don't know this David. And then he said something along the lines of making David look like an illegitimate child, that there was something immoral in his family. And he talked about him like a dog. But when David heard about it, he said, boys, put your swords on. Go get your spears, because at the end of the day, every male that lives in his area, in his house, all his employees, we're going to nail them to the wall. And he was ready to go. But Nabal had a wise wife named Abigail. And Abigail was told by the servants, Miss Abigail, David, you know him, he sent some men down to get a plate, and your husband, you know how he is, he basically insulted David to the point that you might need to do something, because if David's the David that we know, we're going to die. And sure enough, that was what's going to happen. So she was upset with her fool husband, since that was his name. And she went and said, get you some of this and get you some of that, and we're going to make the food, and we're going to get enough to feed all his men so they can be satisfied. And when you're done, let me know. When she went and rode up to his place where they were, and she fell before David's face, who was not the king, but she treated him like a king. Said, forgive my husband. You know, his name is a fool, and that's how he act. Please forgive me. Oh, it's my fault that I was not the one that came and told you that. But please accept all that I have. You don't want to do anything that's going to harm your reputation, because we know that one day you're going to be king, and we don't want this massacre of folk to be on your record. See, she was wise, whereas Nabal was a complete fool. This is the committed fool. The committed fool. Proverbs 14:1. David married her, by the way, after Nabal. After Nabal heard what, after he had his drunk off and he was now sober that next morning, and she told him what happened, the man had a stroke and he died. David came and took Abigail as his wife. The fool had passed away. Look at Psalms 14:1. Psalms 14:1. It says, the fool, you can insert Nabal in there, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And then old Job, in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, when his wife told him, why don't you just die? Just go ahead and die. Curse God and die. Don't worry about it. Nothing can get fixed here. And he said to her in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now we know that his wife was probably in a depression state after having lost all of her children. So we understand that she was feeling like this against God. But still, Job set her straight, because the same God with whom she is discouraged in is the same God that gave him all of that blessing. For he was noted as the richest man in his day. Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women. You could insert the word Nabal in there. But shall we indeed accept good things from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And so we see five characters, five descriptions of fools. And you can see in each one of those, they boil down to a fist in God's face. We reject you. We believe that what we want to do and what we think is right. We don't care what you do. In fact, some of us don't even care whether you exist or not. Oh, God does not care for the foolishness of man. Oh, but there's one kind of fool. Yes, sir. There's one kind of fool that just tickles him to death. There's one kind of fool that gives him the reason to honor and lift up those fools. And those, in point number six, would be those who are known as a fool for Christ. God has no problem with the fool for Christ. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. That's Proverbs 28 and verse 26. You see, there's the worldly fool, which will represent all the five fools that we talked about. But then there's the wise fool. The wise fool who is a fool for Christ. You've heard the story of the people who built their houses. One was on solid rock, and the other one was on sinking sand. And when the winds and the storms came, and they blew the house down for the one who was on the sinking sand. But the one that was on solid rock, that foundation, it stood. Oh, to be a fool for Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 13. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise when you're in what? When you're in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Verse 11. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Verse 12. And we labor, working with all our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. To be a fool for Christ means that we will receive the scoffing from the worldly fool. We will be gossiped and talked about by the worldly fool. We'll be treated unkindly by the worldly fool. We'll be treated on our job in a bad way by those who don't care for Christ. There will be times that it's going to be lonely, the only one out there, when you are a fool for Christ. But I tell you, don't worry about that. You see, God knows the difference between a worldly fool and a fool for Christ. Galatians verses chapter 6 and verse 9 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He's not fooled. For whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. God knows what's going to happen with the fool for Christ. Proverbs, Psalms 14:1 is, remember, the fool said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. What's worse than demons? a fool, for even the demons know there's a God. The demons recognize Christ, says there's no God. You mean to tell me that the demons are smarter than the human fool? That's a sad thing. Fools are corrupt, abominable work. They have done nothing that's good. What do fools? They reject God. That's the main point of a fool. They reject God. Even Jonah, who was a spiritual man, he rejected God when he went the other way, when God told him to go to Nineveh, and he headed for Joppa. A Christian can be acting a fool. Go back to what main ingredient said. Everybody plays a fool. They have done terrible works. They don't do any good. Noah, he was a fool. That's what they thought about him. He preached for 120 years. But people said he was a fool because he was building a boat in a parking lot. But how much of a fool was he when the rain came and they're beating against the door trying to get in? But God shut that door. You're not getting in because you rejected the message from Jonah. Apostle Paul was called a fool for preaching about Jesus. But we want to be a fool for Christ. If you want to think about it, one of those songs was from the Beatles was A Fool on a Hill. Can you imagine what it's like to be at Calvary on that hill where there are three crosses? One of them has the Lord Jesus Christ impaled to a cross. And down below him are two kinds of fools. They're the fools that jeered him, the ones that laughed at his nakedness on the cross, the ones who mocked him for saying, "You said you could 3 days? What you gonna do now? Come on off," one of the thieves on the cross said. "Why don't if you say who you are, why don't you just get off of there and help us out?" But there were also some fools for Christ there at the foot of that hill. Oh, there were fools on the hill, but there was the worldly fool, and then there was the godly fool. In fact, Jesus, after he had resurrected, if you recall, the road to Emmaus, there were two of his disciples that were believers. They had hung around Jesus, and they were sad. They were distraught on their way home on the road to Emmaus. And suddenly, this stranger appeared who was Jesus, but they couldn't recognize him. And as he began to listen to their woes, they talked about, "What do you mean? Haven't you heard?" And they'd say that was this man Jesus, and he was a good man, and he did healings. Oh, but he was killed. He died on the cross. He was crucified. "Haven't you heard about it?" And they went on in their rejected state. And Jesus said, "You fools." In chapter 24, he said, "You fools." And he began to explain to them,